currently in my menstrual phase of my cycle, and yesterday was day one. So I just kind of stood in bed most of the day. Like, I woke up and did my cold shower and all my things, and then I went outside to spend time with the morning sky. And I'll get into that in a little bit, because we're going to be talking about my hot girl habits that I have in place and how they've benefited me in my life and how they just add to my expansion. And not just my expansion, but my ability to lead others, my ability to be an expander for others, right? Because if I, you know, got on here and preached my services and invited people into my world to learn about energetics, manifestation, business, creating the life that they fucking want to create, that they deserve, right? If I'm preaching this to you guys and I'm inviting you, but you look inside of my life and I wake up late, I don't do my skincare, I don't take care of myself, I don't drink water, I overwork myself to the point of like exhaustion, like, that is not someone you want to be learning from. And listen, if you feel like you want to be a coach, if you feel like you want to, you know, be an expander for others, as I'm doing, let's say you don't feel like your habits are, you know, in their best potential right now, you can do better. That's a good thing. This is good. This is what we want to admit to ourselves. This is what we want to be honest about. Because if you are, let's say, trying to start a business or actively prepping yourself or taking the first steps toward becoming a business owner or becoming a coach, well, one of the first things that I would recommend working on is yourself, your human, your habits, practicing what you preach. Because otherwise, like, it's just not right, you know? It's not right to just be preaching something that you're not actually embodied in. You know, part of my work is habits and stuff like that. Like, I do help people with their habits, but that's not my main zone of genius. That's not something that I consider myself as, right? Like, mainly, like, the main work that I do with people isn't just cleaning up their habits. I think it was at one point when I was more of a fitness coach, but I still think it is everything, right? I think it is everything, and I think it's important for me to share this with you guys, because if you are, like I said, becoming an expander for other people, it's important. But even if you're not, like, you want to be so embodied in all the habits that are good for you, that expand you, that take care of your human self, so that you can go and create all the things that you want to create in your life. Because if your human self is not okay, right, if you're not getting sleep, if you're not doing this, if you're not taking care of yourself, then it's going to be really fucking hard to create the life that you want. You're not going to have the energy. The energy is going to be poured into keeping you fucking alive, because what you're doing in your everyday life is going against what your body needs. So I think it's just really important for everyone to really, you know, take this in. If you're coming into my world, if you want to learn from me, if you want to join my courses, if you want to work with me privately, which are all options, obviously, I want you to know, and I don't even need to say it, I'm pretty sure you guys all, you know what's good. You listen to my podcast, you see my stories and stuff like that, you feel my energy. I am not going to be the coach that's going to tell you to do something if I don't do it myself. I'm not going to be the coach that's just teaching from knowledge, from teaching from intellectual aspects of my life without actually having implemented it in my own life. And that's where you can create the trust and comfort within being in my energy field and learning from me, because you know that I am embodied in all of this. And I have not always been embodied in all of these habits. I gotta say that. That is like the number one thing that I want to have land for you guys, is the fact that this has not always been the case for me. At one point in my life, I didn't have any habits in place. Like, nothing was really, I just kind of was coasting through life and didn't really have anything set into place. I would say sleepwalking through life for sure. And it's okay, because that's what enabled me to be able to be an expander for you guys and to be able to have all these healthy habits in place and to be able to just be such a freaking great example for my future kid I don't want more than one as of right now. So my future kid and their future kids and like the generations to come. But also like in my relationship, I'm an amazing fucking example for my relationship. And like we both are for each other in different ways. And my family and my clients and everybody, like, it's just so important that I had struggled in my past, right? So I could be the person who is really passionate about this kind of stuff and has learned. And that's the only reason why I would say I am one of the best people at this. I am one of the best when it comes to habits. Like, I am fucking solid in my habits and I'm proud of it. So yeah, like, it wasn't always like that. And I guess I'll kind of go into that a little bit for each one as of like maybe if it flows well, but where I was prior and then where I am now with that. So yeah, let's get into it. I wrote a bunch down, but there was a bunch that I left out, and planning this episode, which you guys know I usually don't do, but planning this episode made me realize, like, wow, girl, you have so many habits, like so many great habits. And I'm proudly just going on and on about myself. And I want you guys to take that in because I want you guys to do the same about yourself. I want you guys to show up for yourself in such a high level way, in such an intentional way that you get to brag about yourself as well. And it's not bragging per se, it's being proud of how far you've come and how you show up for yourself. That is where self-love is built, for sure. And that is where you stop clinging on to other people and depending on other people to give you that satisfaction that you're really just searching for within yourself through showing up for yourself in every area of your life. Okay, so this episode's gonna be a good one. There's no particular order that I'm going in. I just wrote down a bunch of things. But what I really wanna start with is keeping track of my year in my notes app. This is something that I just started doing this year in January, right? So it is currently November 11th, 2023. And I started this literally the first day of January. I had this genius idea of like, oh, wow, you know what? I'm going to actually keep track of everything that goes on in my life for every single month, right? Because this is where the idea was born. Last year, around this time, around, you know, like December, around the last days of the year, when the year was finally coming to an end, I created a podcast episode, and the podcast episode was labeled The Biggest Lessons I've Learned This Year, or something like that. And when I was trying to come up with things, as I was speaking and as I was really just like digging into my experiences from the year, I realized that I was kind of like lost. I couldn't really remember what went down in that year, you know, especially because I wasn't really practicing being present and being aware as much as I do now. Really hard for me to kind of get an accurate picture of what actually went down. So immediately I was like, you know what, next year I'm gonna keep track of this shit. And of course, you guys know I journal, right? I can go through my journal from 2022. I could have gone through my journal, but the thing is that everything is just all scattered all over the place, you know? Sometimes my writing isn't the neatest when I'm trying to rush, or like I'm feeling some type of way and I can't even get myself to focus and really just like write neatly. And sometimes it's hard to read. Nowadays, I feel like I'm way more focused and way more calm, so my writing is really neat in my journal, but last year, definitely not. And everything is just all over the place. Like, it would take me so long to kind of get a really accurate idea and summary of what went down that month or even that week. So what I decided to do was really simple. In my notes app, I created a note that says year in review or something like that, which is like the most bland, stale title that I could have ever thought of. It's like not me at all, but whatever. I was just like, boom, 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 whatever. Let's just do this year in review. And I started with January, and I just started adding like important things that have happened in that month. And I don't go into the note every single day and track every single day. Like, that would be too much. But, you know, every few weeks, or if anything significant happens, like, let's say I launch something or I have a pattern that I'm working on, actively working on breaking. I have a habit that I am actively working on. I write that down. If something, you know, really difficult happened in my life that caused me to look within and caused me to really surrender and trust in the universe, like, I write that down. It doesn't really matter what you write down, and there's no perfect way to do it. I literally made this up, but the way I've been doing it has been really working for me. And you just got to remember to do it. You know, you can't just like not do it. So I would say, like, check in, like, maybe at the end of every week. Like, if you check in 4 times for the month and just kind of like summarize what had, you know, gone down, I think that's perfect. And I don't have a specific thing that I do. I just kind of made that up right now. I kind of just go with the flow, which is what I do with most things in my life, obviously. But this definitely adds some structure to your year and who you're becoming. And it's a great thing because you can look back and be like, oh, okay, this all makes sense. Like, I was here in January, and then I went through this in March, and then in August, this is where I was, and this all ties together. Like, you can really look back in hindsight and connect pieces and just feel really proud of yourself, and it really does, really, really does motivate you to show up in big ways. Because you don't want to be reading those notes and see the same thing, the same repetitive behaviors, the same repetitive bad habits, the same repetitive like default states, right? You don't want that, right? So it really does push you to really be great. Be great. I really highly recommend it. It is the best thing I've ever thought of. Not really, but you know what I mean. Super, super helpful. Okay, I'm gonna try to make this short because there are a lot of habits. So cold showers, you guys know that. That is like a part of my everyday. Like, it's been for the last, 2 years now? Amazing. Sets me up for greatness. And I don't do it because I feel like I have to. I don't do it because successful people do it. I do it because it makes me feel so fucking good, and it allows me to, it wakes me up in the morning first of all, and it allows me to sit with discomfort and breathe through discomfort to show myself that, to teach my body that it's okay. I can feel hard things and I will survive and I will get through it. And this goes hand in hand with the embodiment and really feeling your emotions. If you listen to my last podcast episode, you can feel extremely uncomfortable when you actually tune in to your uncomfortable feelings. And sometimes, most times, you're gonna be like, okay, I'm done, I don't want to feel this anymore. Is this ever gonna end? Like, fuck this, I want to be happy. What's the point of going back? What's the point of feeling this when I can just ignore it and feel happy, right? And I think the cold showers really do help you in that sense, where it's like you can just tune into the sensations that are going on in your body as the cold water is hitting you, and it really just teaches you so much. But then afterwards, you're more awake, you're more alert, you're more motivated, you feel less anxious. Like, there's so many fucking benefits to cold showering in the morning. I mean, that's why I've been doing it for so long. And I don't really talk about it much on Instagram anymore. Well, maybe I do, but yeah, I do it every single day. Like, every single day. I do not miss a day. It is just a habit for me. Morning sunlight is amazing. I do it as much as I can. I wake up super early when it's dark out, so that's kind of rough because it is suggested that you do it as soon as possible, which is difficult for me because I wake up and there's like 3 hours of darkness before. Not really, but there's 3 hours of like no sun, so I kind of have to wait. But yeah, vitamin D. A lot of people are deficient in vitamin D, so that is a perfect way to get your vitamin D in. And it's also really good for your hormones and your circadian rhythm. So yeah, Dr. Huberman talks a lot about this if you guys want to like check him out, because he really explains it way better than I am right now. But I know that it's really good for you, so I definitely do that every single day. And I use SPF every single day as well. This is one of my hot girl habits. Just because we're talking about the sun, I figured that we would kind of get into the SPF aspect of things, which, you know, that wasn't always in my life. I didn't always use sunblock. I didn't always use SPF on my face. I just didn't, like, I didn't do skincare for a while as well. I mean, I've always been washing and moisturizing, but I think I would do it once a day, like, back then. Or, like, I would fall asleep with my makeup on and stuff like that in college and just, like, wasn't really prioritizing my skin. But yeah, fuck that. Every single day, I do my skincare twice a day. I do not miss days. Like, I'm very consistent with that. And every single morning, I put SPF on and One thing I do need to get better at, or I do desire to get better at, is reapplying the SPF. It's just that when I do my makeup, I'm just like, okay, well, I'm not going to put it over. So maybe I need like some sort of spray. But yeah, I'm really big on that. I really don't want sun damage on my face or premature aging. That is like really big for me. I really don't want that. But yeah, that's definitely a hot girl habit that I'm proud of, because that wasn't always the case for me. Like doing my skincare twice a day, being super religious with it and like proud of it. Like it makes me feel so good to take care of my skin, honestly. And since we're on the topic of skin, one thing that was a habit for a while, like when I was younger, like super young, like I would put lotion on my whole entire body every single time I got out of the shower, and then I stopped. Like in college, I just didn't do, well, maybe like sometimes. Oh my god, I just had a memory. Dude, I love this so much. My best friend from college and I, we used to literally just be naked as fuck and like putting lotion on each other, not in like a sexual way, but in just that we're so comfortable with each other. And we're literally like sisters that we're just gonna do this. And like, I love that. That is so freeing. That is so freeing, because somewhere along the way, I lost that and I started becoming kind of like embarrassed of my body. And the thought of me being naked with my best friend just didn't hit right for me, because I started feeling shame around my body. So that was like a beautiful thing. And that was like, you know, I admire that part of me. And like, now I would definitely, probably not, because I feel like I'm like, okay, I can put my own lotion on, but like being naked, I am definitely comfortable with that in my body and stuff like that. Anyway, I kind of went off track because I think that's fucking funny that we would do that. But anyway, after college and stuff, I just stopped putting lotion on. Like, yeah, I would put lotion on like maybe my knees so they didn't look ashy or whatever, but I didn't put it on my whole body as a ritual. And now I'm doing that, and like, it's definitely one of those newer habits that is not locked in fully. Like, it's not an automatic habit yet. Like, I have to be like, okay, Jada, like put lotion on. And then my first reaction is like, oh my god, that's so annoying, it's gonna take forever. And then I'm like, no, but that is like so good for your skin. We're talking about premature aging, right? If the more dry your skin is, the more it's gonna wrinkle, and wrinkles aren't, you know, exclusive to your face. So, you know, put your fucking lotion on, sis. You know, so yeah, I've been doing that, and I use this, it's called Look Organics. It's this like lotion thing that I got, and it's kind of hard to put on because it's like solid, like, you know when coconut oil gets solid, that's kind of like the vibe of it. So like, you have to like rub it in for it to kind of spread, so it does take a lot of effort. But I think it's so worth it because my skin feels so good after. And also, touching your body, connecting with your body, loving your body, caressing your body, like that is another hot girl habit that I have, and I highly recommend it if you're really working on like self-love practices and you really want to get into just connecting with your body more. And especially for the people who feel like so disconnected to themselves, that is a great thing to do. And you know, I do it in my candlelit bathroom. It's dark, I have my candles lit, and I'm just like maybe listening to some music or nice training, and just, you know, putting that lotion all over myself. It feels so good. All right, moving on. Yeah, so being present as I eat, that definitely was not something that I've always done. I would always, even since a child, I would have to read something or I would have to listen to something. Hi, my love. Sorry, Phoebe's looking at me. She's so cute, guys. I love my cat. Yeah, I would always have to read something. Specifically, I remember reading the back of the cereal boxes. If you know, you know. Like whenever I was eating, I would always like read the back of the cereal boxes. It felt so like relaxing and soothing. Or like just watching TV and stuff like that always. Now, no, you will not catch me doing any of that. I am so present when I eat. I think it's a beautiful ritual that I've created for myself. And the first time I heard this was actually in therapy in college, where I did this kind of, it was like a group therapy sort of thing. Listen, I was troubled in college. I was not okay mentally, guys. I was struggling hard, and all the alcohol that I was drinking was not helping. And so one day, it was the beginning of senior year, I believe, or junior. I think it was junior year, actually. I don't fucking know. I had 2 senior years, guys. I did 5 years. If you know, you know. I don't know. It was like my first senior year, let's say. And I just wasn't feeling good. So I decided to go to my school therapist. I remember at Rutgers University, which is where I went. It was called CAPS. or something like that. And you would go in for a consultation and they would kind of like recommend what's best for you depending on your symptoms. And for me, they recommended that I see a therapist, a psychiatrist, and a anxiety group. It was like a anxiety group thing. Group therapy. There we go. So they wanted me to take medication, they wanted me to talk to a personal therapist, and they wanted me to go to group therapy, this anxiety workshop. That's what it was called. It was an anxiety workshop. And I thought all of the above was corny. I was like, oh my God, nobody else is doing this. None of my friends are doing this. Like, I feel like embarrassed. I remember feeling extremely embarrassed and shameful walking into the CAPS building. It was right next to the school gym. And I felt like it was like way too public. And, you know, it was way too public for my own comfort because I had all these stories around mental health and all these stories around therapy is only for crazy people. Therapy is only for people who have been through extreme things in their life. And if people think I've been through extreme things in my life, they're going to judge me. And like, honestly, that none of that shit is true, right? And I don't agree with any of that. And even if it was only for people who went through extreme things in life, like, who gives a fuck? There's nothing to be shameful about. But at that point in my life, everything was shameful for me. I couldn't own anything about myself. I couldn't own anything. There was shame in everything, right? So there was a lot of deconditioning that I had to do personally. And, oh my God, I want you guys to see Phoebe so bad. She's so comfy. She's my queen. She motivates me in so many different ways to just be one comfy ass vibey bitch, I swear. But yeah, so I went there, and in the group therapy session, we actually did meditation, and we did this mindful practice where you take a piece of chocolate and you eat it, but while you're eating it, you're extremely present, and you're paying attention to the taste, you're paying attention to the texture, you're really feeling the pleasure of it on your tongue, you're chewing slowly, you're just so in the moment. It helps you practice presence. And that taught me a lot. I mean, at the moment, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? I was so judgmental. And I just felt like I was even judging the people in the therapy class because I'm like, I'm not one of them. I don't need this. But deep down inside, that part of me was screaming for everything they were teaching us, right? And if I would have just released the shame, I would have been so about it. And, you know, they taught me box breathing. They taught me meditation, all of that. But the thing is that I didn't own those practices and those rituals because I was so fucking in my head. So anytime I would do them, it wouldn't be like, oh, I'm so proud of myself. I'm such a top tier human for really showing up for myself and showing myself this sort of love and doing this high level habit. It was more like, oh my God, like, I feel so anxious right now. Maybe I'll try the box breathing, even though this is fucking weird and it probably doesn't work. Like, let me just try it and I won't tell anybody, or maybe I will tell people, but I'll tell them and I'll feel bad about it because, you know, my dominant vibration is just feeling fucking shameful about everything. So yeah, so now, like, everything that I've learned back then, I am like, oh my God, like, wow, these are all such amazing practices, and I take pride in them and I do them now. But yeah, I don't do anything when I eat. I'm super present, and I think that's a very special time. And anytime I see, like, Peter, he's like eating and working, I'm like, I try my best not to judge him, because obviously everyone's, you know, living their own, in their own universe, and there are certain things that people aren't willing to do. And this is not something we've ever talked about. Like, he doesn't know that I'm present while I eat, right? He doesn't even know that's an option for him, and maybe he doesn't even want to do that. So, but when I see it, I'm like, oh my God, wow, I could never, right? I could never be working and eating. Like, my eating time is my time, especially when you focus on healthy foods, right? So, like, eating for your body, eating for the well-being of your body, for the optimization of your body functions, and really supporting yourself, and eating high vibrational foods, and just being like, yeah, this is self-love. This food is supporting me. You want to pay attention to that. Like, you want to be present in that. But yes. Also, another hot girl habit that I have is just getting rid of anything that doesn't serve me. So you won't see me hoarding shit that does not have any purpose in my life. Like, I throw out things all the time. Some people might call it toxic. Usually I give them away. I'm not just throwing away about... Oops, sorry. I just threw the remote. I'm not throwing away valuable stuff. I give them away. But, like, you know, certain things, like expired things out of the cabinet, or just like products that I don't use anymore, like makeup products that I don't use, clothing that doesn't excite the F out of me anymore, things like that. Like, I just don't keep anything that doesn't have any use. And it's so funny because when I was younger, in high school, my former best friend at the time, she would come over into my room and she would be like, why are you keeping this? What is this? Why do you have this box? Like, why do you still have the wrapping for this? What is this? Like, she would go through all my stuff and tell me, like, you need to throw this out. And at first it was a little offensive, but then I'm like, oh my God, she's right. Like, why am I keeping all this stuff? And honestly, she played a really big part in my growth, even like growing up, even though we really bumped heads a lot and she was kind of mean and stuff like that. It was just a friendship that I had to grow out of because I just couldn't really take that sort of treatment anymore. But at the time it was really nice because she did teach me a lot about a lot of things, honestly. And a lot of like beauty things, and like her room was always so neat and so clean, and she didn't like hoard things and stuff like that. So that really stuck with me until this day. I'm like, nah, we're not doing that shit. Cause if your space is crowded, then your mind is definitely crowded, and you just feel like you're stuck in like old energy. Like, you want to clear that energy out to make room for new energy. I can't express that enough. And you see that a lot with like older people. I've noticed, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not all older people, but from what I've noticed is like a lot of people have trouble letting go of things. And I know that people listening might agree. It's like you have all of these old things that you will never wear, that you will never touch again, that have no use. And I see that a lot with women in makeup. Like, they have like this huge makeup collection and they don't even use, you know, half of it. And it's like, why do we have that? What else are we holding on to in our life, right? Because the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So if you were just like holding on to a bunch of shit that you don't need anymore, that means you're most likely holding on to a lot of energetic aspects of yourself that no longer serve you, a lot of beliefs that no longer serve you, a lot of habits that no longer serve you. That was like a really big one for me. It's just like getting rid of anything that doesn't serve me, and it feels really good as well. And sometimes I think I'm really good at it, but then I'll catch myself like, I'm like, why do I still have this? We should have gotten rid of this a long time ago. Like, what's going on? What's the problem? Or it's like, you know, you're not going to eat it. Like, for instance, like a leftover or something like that. Like, let's say my leftover Chipotle, I like didn't finish it. I know I'm not going to eat it the next day, or like, I just don't want it. Like, it wasn't that good and I don't want it. And I put it in the fridge just like knowing that I'm not going to eat it, but just like, just in case. It's like, what the fuck is the point of that? I need to do better at that part for sure. But yeah, that has been very freeing for me. And yeah, like, I had to get rid of so many clothes to the point of like, I don't even have many clothes anymore, you know, because I got rid of all the things that I don't want. And now I'm really selective in what I buy because I don't want to just be spending money on things that I'm going to end up throwing out. I think us and our society, especially, I don't know, maybe not especially in this country, but I have a feeling that this country is like a victim to this, is like, we just feel like more stuff, better. And we're just buying random shit that doesn't serve us. And then it's just crowding our space and we end up getting rid of it. And then we end up pouring money into stuff that we really don't feel good about, you know? And that's kind of whack. Okay, moving on. So, okay, tension release in my body and somatic practices. So I've been doing a lot of somatic practices to release trauma in my body and to release tension in my body. And it's been really helpful for me. And it's like, you know, movements that you would never expect, right? It's like very gentle, like rocking movements. Like, there's one that I do that you lay on the floor and your palms are facing down, your legs are extended, and you just push your heels like forward so that you're creating a rocking motion, and you're breathing and you're exhaling, getting rid of anything that doesn't serve you anymore, any energy that needs to be released. And you're just doing that over and over and over again for like 30 seconds, and then you get on your side, legs are 90 degrees, and then you think of like your sacrum kind of like being like someone pushing on your sacrum so that you're rocking, you're initiating the rocking from your sacrum, and it's very gentle movements, and you're breathing, right? And it's just releasing tension from your body, and it's so gentle and it's so effective, and it really does help you release trap emotions and also actual tension release in my muscles. I have a lot of upper trap tightness, and I would definitely say that's from trauma and also just like working out in the wrong way before I was aware, and just not taking care of my body in the sense of getting massages or, you know, doing my trigger point tension release. So that is like an everyday thing that I do now. Like, I do some sort of tension release. I take a tennis ball on the floor or on the wall in between, you know, my body and the wall or the floor, and I just press the ball into any tender areas that I have and breathe through it and then release that. And it really helps so much with anxiety and posture and just like pain in general and discomfort. A lot of discomfort is just like can be created by just the tension in our body. And that tension in our body is caused by a lot of the unprocessed emotions and stored trauma that we have. And it's just like it needs to be released, you know. And yeah, and I'm going to physical therapy to learn some more about my body because my hip is super, I don't know what's going on with it. It hurts a lot, and it's kind of one of those things where it's so hard to pinpoint where the pain is actually coming from. So I've been like really trying to be present with the pain and try to feel like, okay, where is it coming from? Is it in the front? Is it from the back? It's really, really hard to pinpoint it. But I've been doing lots of yoga, lots of stretching, lots of mobility, and just making time every single day to release that tension from my body and to do my somatic practices, because there's a lot going on here, right? Another one of my hot girl habits is to play with my cat daily. If I had a dog, it would be the same thing. If I had any animal, it would be the same thing. Like, our animals need that stimulation. They need that time with you. They need that play. They get bored if they don't get that playtime. They get depressed, and then it leads to diseases. And it's just really not right to leave our animals there with no stimulation. Like, it's not fair. And I'm a big animal girl. I don't know if you guys even know that about me, but that is like my soft spot. Like, I get really fucking emotional when it comes to animals, which is why, like, slowly but surely, I'm just getting rid of like any sort of like meat. I don't eat dairy. I don't eat pigs. I don't eat cows. The only thing that I eat right now is chicken and turkey, which I just feel horrible about. But over time, you know, I'm doing some like inner work to get myself to release it, because it's just like one of those like slow processes where I used to be obsessed with pork, obsessed, and then I realized like, no, I love these animals. I don't want to torture them, and I don't think it's right. So, and also cows are so beautiful and amazing. So over time, I allowed myself to stop eating them, and I just never looked back. And it actually is very simple. It's just that there's a lot of learning that I need to do to make sure I'm getting the right nutrients and to make sure that I'm really not putting my body in a position to be deficient in anything, because I'm taking those things out of my diet and I need some sort of replacement. Anyway, we're talking about veganism now, but that's not what I meant to do. But basically, yeah, animals, I love them. So my cat, for instance, every single day I carve out at least 15 to 20 minutes to play with her. And it feels so good because I'm getting to spend time with her. I practice being present with her. I practice gratitude, which is like a dominant vibration for me now. I don't even have to fucking practice it. It's just how I live. It's how I be. And it's amazing. But yeah, I just get to spend time with her, and I get to see her at her happiest state. Because if I just ignored her all day, and if I just like did my own thing and, you know, was working and doing all my habits, and she was just sitting there bored, you know, obviously she has her toys to play with and she does a little bit, but she needs that human interaction. Like, she wants to be like to run around, like she wants to hunt things, right? She wants to just feel like in her true essence of being a cat. So I make sure to give that to her. And sometimes it can be a little frustrating because I'm busy, or at the moment, maybe I just don't feel like it, to be honest. You don't want to like sit there and play, but I always return back to what I believe to be true. And that's, my cat deserves that. And I want to be the best mother I could ever be. And although she's not a human, she's very fucking close to one, because all the love, attention, and need, the needs that she has. And it really sets me up for being an amazing mom too, because I want to give my attention to my freaking kid, you know? I never want my kid to feel like I'm neglecting them or I don't love them or I don't have the time for them. That's just not the kind of mom that I'm trying to be. So yeah, play with your animals, people. Play with your animals. Oh, this is a good one. One thing that I'm working on is walking slower and breathing. So I have this thing where I hold my breath. So I'm catching myself every time I'm not breathing, and I'm making it a point to intentionally just breathe, because sometimes, I mean, not sometimes, every single time, like, that's what causes anxiety. Like, you're not allowing your body to get oxygen, the oxygen that it needs. And that's anxious tendency, right? We hold our breaths when we're feeling anxious, we're overthinking, or we're just like feeling some sort of tension in our body. It's like, no, we have to breathe. The walking slower thing, that's just something I came up with because I realized that ever since I was younger, it's just like rush, like rush to the next thing, like walk as fast as possible. Like, why is this person moving so slow? Like, oh my God, like we have places to get to. Like, just always thinking about what you need to do, where you need to go, and not giving yourself time to be present and just walk slowly, walk gracefully. And I think that's like such a fucking vibe now when you see people just literally walking slow and taking in the moment versus like rushing to the next thing. So I practice that when I'm walking to the nail salon or walking to a doctor's appointment. I live in Buckhead in Atlanta, so very walkable. I don't have a car here. I turn in my leased car when I moved from Jersey and didn't get one here because I don't need one, to be honest. Like, I can walk anywhere. So I've been practicing and it's like so not natural for me. I'll notice myself fucking rushing like so fast and I'm like, why am I doing that? And then I slow down and I kind of like take things in, and it just makes me feel more relaxed and more regulated. And then of course, yeah, the breathing thing. And I also do intentional breath work as well. I would say almost every single day for sure. YouTube, honey, like YouTube is so simple. They have 10-minute, 5-minute, whatever, just breathe. You don't even need YouTube. You can just take, set a timer and inhale deeply. I like to really inhale from the base of my spine, or if you are a feminine queen, your womb space, and just bring that breath all the way up from there, all the way up to your head, to your head space, hold it, and then release through your mouth. That's really good. Okay, guys, cramps, PMS cramps. I'm really learning. I'm reading about my cycle a lot and just like really implementing different things and different habits to support my cycle. Right now I'm reading In the Flow by, I think her name is Alyssa Vitti. Very good book, very scientific, and sometimes I feel like there's a lot of her telling us what she's about to tell us versus like just telling us. And I feel like I definitely did that in the beginning of this episode. But sometimes I get a little anxious. I'm like, okay, can you just fucking tell us? Much love to her. But yeah, it's a really good book. But anyway, she talks about how PMS symptoms aren't actually normal. Like cramps and all of that, that's not normal. That's just an indication that something's going on with our hormones. So I think that's really important. And I'm just learning that, and I'm just learning how to eat and like really support my cycle. So I do get cramps and they're pretty bad. Like I feel like right now they're not this cycle. Like yesterday was day one, and they were kind of bad yesterday, and I was like, okay, I can't wait to be in a full like month of like eating to support my cycle so I don't feel this anymore. But what I want to say is, if you get bad cramps and you're still in the process of learning about your cycle, don't take pain medicine. Like I do not take pain medicine for my cramps anymore. I used to take them. I used to take so many fucking pills for my cramps. Now my secret sauce that nobody seems to talk about is orgasming to release the pain. It is so helpful, and there's a lot of shame around that, and I don't feel shame at all, which is why I'm talking about it. But I used to definitely feel that. It is like the craziest pain relief method, and when I look it up, like I've looked up how to get rid of cramps so many different times, and orgasms do not come up. It's just not something that our society talks about, but it is our natural way of relieving pain, which is incredible. So I highly recommend it. Ditch the pain medicine because that shit is not good for your liver. Oh, this is really long. I'm not even halfway through. Okay, treating every day like I'm playing a game. Like this life is one big game. And if you took my course Manifestor, you know what I'm talking about. If you take it in the future, you're going to know what I'm talking about, because it is so incredible to live a life where you feel like it is just one big game that you're playing, and manifestation is just one big game that you're playing, and you're the player, and you have to show up to each level in a certain way and in an excited way and with the intention of like being the best at the game, but not taking it too seriously, right? That is like the number one thing that has changed my life and my relationship with manifestation. And I can get really deep into that, but we're not going to. Morning conversations with my higher self and the universe and the goddess energy. So now my thing is like goddess instead of God. I change it every time. Like I'm just like evolving my relationship with the higher power and source. And I like to just like see what feels good for me. And right now, goddess energy is really fitting. After I read the book Pussy, I'm just like, oh my God, yeah, goddess. Yeah. So every morning, you guys know I wake up at like 5-6 every single morning. I make my cup of coffee, but I eat before drinking the coffee. That is important when it comes to hormones. So I eat like a piece of Ezekiel toast, and it's really healthy and amazing. And then I have my latte. I go out on my balcony and silence, feel the morning cold air. Right now it's like a little cold in the morning, and I connect to myself, my higher self, which is the part of you that has all the wisdom, that is connected to source, that is connected to the goddess energy, that is not rooted in your ego, that knows where you're going and how to get there. And it is the most beautiful thing to create a relationship with your higher self. It changed everything for me. Oh my God, that was not always the case for me. I did not know about any of these things. I didn't implement spirituality. I didn't implement playing the game. I didn't implement my higher self. Like, none of this was a thing for me. And now that it is a thing for me and it's very natural for me, it doesn't feel awkward. It doesn't feel like something I'm trying to do. It just feels like something I do. This is the way I live my life every single day. I'm like, God, I can't believe people don't live their life like this. No wonder why they're depressed, anxious, and feeling like a victim all the time, right? So I go outside and I connect to my higher self and to the goddess energy, and I, you know, thank them for everything. And I ask for support in every area of my life that I need support with, because when you are creating new outcomes for yourself and you are intentionally creating new timelines for yourself, which means new realities for yourself, you don't know all the answers to how you're going to get there, right? And a lot of people stop there. They're like, I don't know how. I can't. Never mind. Whereas, like, I and you, since you're listening to this, you don't need to know the how, but you are more than capable of asking your higher self to support you with the how, right? And I always get my answers. And then, you know, doing that in the morning is very special. And I used to do it in my journal, and now I actually do it out loud. I mean, I'm not screaming this, right? I'm kind of just like talking like this, like, thank you for this, and, you know, thank you for showing me how to get clarity on this, thank you for showing me how to move past this pattern, dissolve this pattern, and create this new habit for myself, thank you for showing me how I should, you know, host this masterclass, if I should do it this way or this way, thank you for guiding me towards the answer of, you know, whatever, just anything. You're not alone. And that's the biggest hot girl habit of them all, knowing that you're not alone in this game that you're playing. When you feel alone, you feel isolated, you feel like a victim. You feel like you can't fucking get through. You feel like your circumstances are your circumstances forever. You feel like you're not meant to have the thing because it's not here yet. And that is not the energy we want to play in. Absolutely not. Okay, so being the observer and present in every moment is one of the biggest hot girl habits that I have too. And in my head, sometimes I'm like, everyone does this, duh. No, no, no. People are living unconsciously and they're sleepwalking through life. They're not being present and aware of what thoughts they're having, what actions they're taking, and what is the default pattern that they are just playing in and out, copy and paste, right? When you're copying and pasting and you're defaulting all the time, you're just creating the same reality. You're not skipping timelines. You're not moving timelines. You're not creating a new reality for yourself. So when you are super present and looking at the moment and like observing from outside of yourself and zooming out, is what I'm doing right now in alignment with who I say I'm becoming? Or is this just something that's trying to keep me small and safe? Something that I've always known, something that I've always done my entire life, right? That is literally what I'm doing all fucking day, every day, all day, every day. And I teach that in, you know, my private coaching. I teach that in my courses. I teach that in my master classes. It's just something that you're going to learn very well if you decide to stay in my world or to enter my world even further. My Joe Dispenza meditations. Love them. Thank you. Love them for rewiring the brain. I think they're incredible. And they really focus on becoming aware of your patterns and your dominant way of feeling, thinking, acting, behaving, and the fact that, you know, you're unconscious of those things most of the time. So you're shining light on your unconscious behaviors. And so that when they occur in your everyday life, you can catch them easier. Because it makes being the observer of every moment easier when you reflect on them in your meditation and you start to really tap into the feelings and teaching your body the feelings of who you're becoming and the reality that you want to create in your life. You're teaching your body to experience it before it actually happens. You're teaching your body to be in vibrational alignment to what you're creating. So it thinks it already happened and it can attract that, right? And it talks about that. He talks about that in Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. It's so incredible. I'm a big studier of his work and a big, big embodiment of his work because I do everything that he says, like everything in that book, I do it. Most people read books and they don't actually apply what they're reading, and that used to be me. I used to be that girl. I used to just read, which is great because you need the information in order to create what you want to create. The more information you have, the better. But when it comes to being an embodiment of what they're teaching, it's a whole other ballgame. Creating my own beliefs, I keep saying this is the biggest hot girl habit that you could ever have. This is one of the biggest. You either stick with the beliefs that were passed down to you, right? The blueprint of life that was passed down to you from society, friends, family, whoever. Or you create your own beliefs. You create the life that you want to see. And you start experimenting with new beliefs. And you stick with them long enough to be able to see the evidence in your physical reality. Not just like, oh, I'm going to play around with this belief today. If I don't see evidence, then fuck this. I'm going to revert back to my old self. No, fuck that. I don't drink to get drunk anymore. No, not the vibe. I mean, I think I probably got a little drunk maybe twice this year so far, and it's the year's coming to an end. Guys, I used to get blacked out 5 times a week. This was in college, but still, even after college, I mean, not 5 times a week, probably like 2 times I would black out a week, but that's 8 blackouts in a month. It's awful for your body. It's poison for your body. It does not support your body in any way. You feel like shit the next day, can't do anything. Oh, it's horrible. Like, it is just not the vibe for me. Yeah, I think I got hungover like twice this year so far, and that's great. That's progress. That's amazing. Usually when I drink, and I went months without drinking, like I was just like not drinking at all. I remember telling you guys, I'm like, I was just drinking to drink, even if it was just like, you know, 3 drinks a week. It just felt like it was like automatic for me. Like, I didn't really want to do it, but I was doing it. Now I just kind of go with the flow. Like last weekend, I didn't drink at all. I don't think I drank the weekend before that at all. Maybe like an espresso martini. Yeah, no, I had an espresso martini and an Aperol spritz, but like this week I'm not drinking. Especially since I'm on my period, like no way am I doing that to my body. And yeah, that's just been life-changing for me, and I just don't think it's the most supportive habit to have. And I don't know if I told you guys this before, but that is like something that Peter had a problem with when we first started dating. We would go out, or like one time we went to a show, I remember at Brooklyn Mirage, we went to like see Dylan Francis or something like that. It was in the beginning of our relationship in about, I think, 2019, before the pandemic. And I got so fucking drunk. I mixed Tito's with White Claw and just crazy drunk, and was just so like out there. And he had to take care of me the whole time. And the next morning I was just like, okay, what the fuck happened? Like, I had no idea. And he just was so annoyed, and he had to like talk to me about it. Like, hey, this is not cool. And I remember back then my ego was so triggered. I'm like, who does he think he is telling me like this is not good? Like, oh my God, he's not my dad. Like, this is so weird. But now in hindsight, I'm like, he was onto something, and he was telling me his boundaries and what he's willing to accept. And it wasn't the most attractive thing to be fucking bent over on the bar, like blacked out. And like, he said I was like talking to him like I didn't even know who he was. Like, I was just like, hi, what's your name? And he was like, him. Like, guys, how embarrassing is that? When you first start dating someone, especially, it's like, it's okay to like slip up. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, like you can never get drunk. Like, that is just not a good thing. Like, sometimes you're gonna get too drunk by mistake, and that's okay. I feel like that's like, whatever. It's like kind of funny, whatever. But if this is a habit, it's not. And like, it was a habit when we first started dating, and it just was, I couldn't control myself. Like, I was so impulsive because I was so anxious all the time that I felt like at the social event, I just needed to keep drinking and I needed something in my hand. And once I got drunk, I just kept doing it. I need another one. It was an anxious tendency. It was not being comfortable with myself. And that's something that I look back in hindsight, I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. You know? And sometimes that same pattern wants to play out, and I'm like, no. Like, for instance, to give you an example, Peter's holiday party for his company. I don't know if you guys know this, but he's an engineer. He works for Peloton, which is why I'm such a Peloton girly. I fucking love them. Great company. I love my Peloton yoga, my Peloton meditation, my Peloton workouts, my Peloton core workouts, my Peloton Pilates. I don't have the bike or the treadmill, but I go on Peloton runs, which is like the normal. I just love the instructor so much. Anyway, that's who he works for. And we went to a holiday party last year for his party, and it was like unlimited drinking and stuff like that. And the people that he works with are kind of different than me, and they are all corporate people, and I am an entrepreneur AF, and I make content, and social media is my job, and being a coach is my job. So I felt out of place. I felt really out of place. And when people were asking me like, what do you do? I was like, you guys are not gonna get it. This is just really weird. Now, my current version of me really owns what I do. And it's just like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. What's up? Like, you know, like, it's okay. Like, you don't do the same thing. Doesn't mean you don't need to understand it, right? You don't even need to care. I don't give a fuck because I care, right? But I was super anxious around that last year. And Okay, anyway, my point is that I'm going to a spiritual retreat in about a month, and the day before I leave is when his holiday party is going to be hosted. So that is December, I think, 13th. And my first reaction was like, oh my God, like, I can't drink if I have a flight the next morning. Like, fuck that shit. I'm not going to do that. And then my second reaction was like, oh my God, I don't think I can go. It's going to be so awkward. I'm not going to be able to, like, it's going to be way too awkward. And I'm like, oh, that's my default, trying to keep me safe. Alcohol was, you know, my crutch. Alcohol was my numbing device that kept me from feeling anxious around people who were different than me. Right. So one of the things that I'm creating is being able to be my full self and own who I am and what I do, regardless of the person in front of me. Like, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? These are all like engineers, and these are all people that are like very different than me. But that doesn't mean that I have to be drunk in order to be able to own myself. Right. So I think that's a beautiful thing to, you know, catch yourself in. And it was a beautiful thing for me to be able to catch myself in, because now I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I don't need to get drunk. I can have like 2 drinks and just like enjoy myself, you know, like it doesn't have to be this fucking dramatic thing. Okay. Oh, checking my bank account. Oh, guys, like, if you're coming to my money energetics class, if you've done money hunting, like, you know, checking your bank account can create a lot of anxiety for so many people, and it did for me. I used to never check my bank account. Like, I wouldn't even care. I would be like, oh my God, if it's negative, it's negative, and I'll find out someday. But now I'm, like, obsessed with checking it, and, like, it just feels really good to know what the fuck is going on in there. And that's, like, the masculine structure of, like, money energetics that you need to, like, put into place, because if you don't know what's going on, then how the fuck are you ever going to be able to create more in your life? If you're avoidant, then how are you going to know what's going on in your account? You're just going to be, you know, pouring money into things that you no longer want to pour money into, things that don't feel good, or maybe, you know, someone double charged you and you have no idea, so you're just kind of like letting money go when it didn't really need to go, and you're repairing your relationship with seeing money go out of your account, because you know that the only way for money to circulate is for it to leave and to come back, right? So you create this really good relationship with your bank account and exposing yourself to that. And it's so fun for me to check, because I love to see where my money is going. Like, back then, especially when I first started my business, like, I just was reckless with my spending, and I just didn't know. Like, I had all these subscriptions and all, like, no, that is not a thing anymore. Like, I know where my money is going, and anything that doesn't feel good anymore, cancel subscription, cancel. No, not doing that, right? So that is such a hot girl habit of mine. Heat protectant on my hair. Like, one of my biggest goals is right now is to grow my hair up to like my butt crack. And so I get frequent trims. I always wear heat protectant. I'm always applying heat to my hair. So that's like super, super important. I didn't do that. Like, I used to have the unhealthiest hair ever. It used to be full of split ends all the time, super dry. I would flat iron it straight on raw hair, no heat protectant, and then I would always have to just end up cutting it really short, and I would get haircuts every like 3 years or 2 years, because, and my hair wouldn't grow because I just like didn't take care of it, you know. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, to be able to connect to your body in all the ways that you can, including your hair and your skin. Podcast, that is the biggest flex. Being a podcast listener, and anybody that's listening to this, you're a podcast listener. So you guys have this on lock, unless you're kind of like listening to one podcast a month. Like, I don't suggest that, especially if you don't have friends that are like in alignment with who you're becoming yet. Like, your friends are kind of like stuck in the same shit, same patterns, doing things that you used to do, but maybe you've grown out of. I would definitely highly recommend being immersed in the world of podcasts that elevate you, that elevate your frequency, that show you a different way of life, a better way of life. Because who you hang out with the most is who you become, right? So if you hang out with the podcasters that are living like their fucking best life, that you want to emulate, that you want to live a life like them, then guess what? You're going to see your life change radically. So I do that any time that I get, like any free space. Like, after this, I'm going to, you know, clean the kitchen. I'm going to be listening to a training that I paid for from my mentor. And that shit hits different. where like at night when I'm brushing my teeth and flossing and doing my whole oral care routine, which you guys know about, but that is something I'm super consistent with, is like flossing, brushing, mouthwash, tongue scraping. My sister is putting me onto oil pulling, which I've never tried before, but that might be like a new habit for me. But yeah, when I'm doing that, I'm listening to a podcast. I'm expanding myself, right? I'm allowing myself to be guided and modeled into a new way of living, a new paradigm of living, because I'm not interested in copying, pasting my life. And we all love our parents. We all respect them and we know what they have been through. Maybe not all of us. I know that. I didn't mean to say that. Like some of us, you know, don't have parents. I know that's just the case for some people, but the people that we were raised by, like, they were doing their best and they were just doing the copy and paste from what they learned from whoever took care of them, right? And that is just a cycle that we have to break, is like the whole copy and paste thing. We have to create our own reality. And the most helpful way to do that is by listening to podcasts, by listening to people who inspire you, is by listening to people who are living lives that you want to live. And not just anyone, people who are actually embodied in what they teach. And you'll be able to feel it. You will. And also just like investing in trainings, like not just like relying on all the free resources. Like you want to grow and learn from someone that you really look up to, like pay them for their services, you know, like pay them for their courses. Like you'll learn so fucking much and it'll feel like a big girl move. You know, like I invested in this. I'm taking pride in this. I'm taking pride in what I invested in, and I know that this is going to get me to my next level, and I get to learn from them, you know? And then lots of rest. Like, rest is everything. Like, I work, yes, I get things done, and yes, I have a very masculine structure when it comes to, like, my habits. As you can see, like, I do my shit, and I write everything down every single day. Every single thing that I do in a day, I write down because it helps me get it done, right? It helps me see it. It helps me check it off and feel proud of myself, and I write that. That's a very masculine structure, but it really helps me because other than that, I flow with my day very nicely. Whatever I feel like doing in the moment, I do, but I make sure that I get everything done. Everything that I need to do done. But rest, like I am not the coach. I'm not the business owner that just burns myself out. I used to be. I used to always say like, oh, I don't have time. Like, oh my God, I'm so busy. Like, oh my God, every single moment is just filled with like work. Like, oh my God, like work, 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 work. Oh my God, I can't even clean. And like, literally, like I would just be like, I need to hire someone to clean. Like, I just can't do this. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's great to have someone clean your house. But I just like neglected things. Like Peter was doing a lot of the cleaning, to be honest, because in my head, I just took on this masculine ass energy that I don't have anymore. Like, yes, you need a balance of masculine and feminine, but it's not the best thing when your masculine energy dominates, and it's not the best thing for your relationship either. Like, you want to be soft. You want to be like receptive, right? You want to be taken care of. I'm not saying like, oh, like you can't do anything, you're not capable of it, but it's really nice when you have like that masculine figure. And when you are in your masculine, it's very difficult for the man to be in his like full masculine energy. So that's something I've learned, and I've definitely cooled it down a lot. Like, I rest so much. Like yesterday, I basically took most of the day off just to rest because it was day one of my period. But guilt-free, you know, it's okay to rest. Like, you don't need to be doing something every single fucking moment of the day, or the task doesn't have to feel extremely hard in order for it to be effective. And that's another thing that I had to transcend. That's another pattern that I had to dissolve, is like, it didn't count if it wasn't hard. And that was definitely detrimental to my own well-being. Oh yeah, okay, so I think that's pretty much it. And boundaries, of course, like setting boundaries, healthy boundaries in your life, and saying no when you need to say no. Like, that is like something I've been really good at for a very long time, so it's very natural for me. But yeah, I'm not gonna hang out with you if I really don't fucking feel like it, or if I don't have the energy to. I'm not gonna say yes if I don't want to do it. You know, like, I'm not gonna, you know, take a client call on a day where I don't take client calls just because the client needs to do it, because that's boundaries, and I have to set a good example when it comes to boundaries, right? I don't want to burn myself out, because that's what I was really good at doing in the beginning of my business and just my life in general. Woo, that was a good one, right? Oh my God, it's such a fucking good episode. I'm so glad you guys joined me. And don't forget, next Wednesday, which is the Wednesday coming up on November 15th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm hosting my masterclass, Money Energetics, and it's gonna be a goodie. It's gonna be so fucking good. I'm gonna teach you how my relationship with money has evolved over time, and how to build the most solid, supportive, expansive relationship with money, and how to understand the energetics behind creating that relationship, because money is energy. Money is energy, and I can't wait to talk about this with you guys live, because you're going to learn so much. It's going to really expand your point of view. It's going to expand your feelings towards money. It's going to expand what you think is possible for you when it comes to money. And you're going to learn from my experiences, which is really, really good because I'm really embodied in this. And this is how I live my life every day. I'm really constantly improving my relationship with money in every way, every day, every moment. And I'm really fucking excited for this. I'm excited for everyone to kind of just like get warmed up to this kind of information and this kind of way of living because, you know, as you guys know, my audience was strictly following me for fitness content for so long. So now I'm just like teaching them new things, right? So a lot of people need to get warmed up to it and I need to bring, you know, more people into my world who are open to receiving this sort of thing. So it's been like, it's been a journey, like kind of like starting my business from scratch, to be honest. But it's taught me so much and I'm just excited for more and more people to just like come into my world and for this to grow. I know I'm going somewhere really big and I'm just really excited to just enjoy the moment exactly how it is and just understand that over time, like this shit is going to grow into something so big. And my biggest intention is to become the absolute best at what I do and to share that with the fucking world, period. Sign up link is going to be in the show notes. I'm so excited to bring this training to you guys. I love you so much. Thank you for being a part of this, for being a part of my podcast community. I adore you from the bottom of my heart. If you haven't posted a screenshot on your story yet, or even if you had, please, or even if you have, please do me a favor and give me a little tag on Instagram. Spread the word, spread the show. It is such a good show. Like, I feel like I should have way more people listening to this, but with time, you know, and I appreciate every single one that is here with me. I am very, very thankful. I don't take this for granted at all. I don't take it lightly. It means the world to me. Leave a rating and review if you haven't yet. Hit me up on Instagram. Let me know if this resonated with you. I love you with all of my heart, and I will talk to you next week.